niggas linking up. Trail niggas linking up. Link up, my nigga, let's link up.
Gentlemen, welcome to another episode of The Link Up. It's your host, Ron the Don. Welcome to another week in wrestling. As you can see, I'm here solo today without my co-host, Alan Zander, you know, who's out on business. But the show must go on, ladies and gentlemen. So we're going to get to it. You know, I got the extra deep voice. You know, I just woke up this morning. So, you know, it's dark and rainy outside. So I'm just going with the vibes right now. But we're going to get straight into it. This might not be, you know, our normal length episode, you know, but I'm going to try to hit on all the key points that happened this week and give you my opinion and also give you guys some predictions for Clash at the Castle this upcoming weekend. And as always, you know, thank you for the support. We just ask that you comment, like, share, subscribe, and all that good stuff. You know, and follow us on all your favorite podcast platforms. And so, yeah, we're going to jump right into it. Starting with SmackDown this past week, it started off with the Bloodline and the anointment of one Tonga Loa, who was anointed into the Bloodline. And also, I forgot what his official name was in the Bloodline. My apologies. And then his brother, Tama Tonga, was also officially put in the Bloodline, who was named his right-hand man. You know, of course, this was the former name of Jey Uso. So if there was any doubt to Solo, you know, taking over Roman's spot before then, that's not the case now. And then as things were getting, you know, kind of dicey between Paul Heyman and Solo, Kevin Owens came out and interrupted. And then he just went straight in there and started fighting everybody, you know, fight Owens, fight. And then the Street Profits came out to make the save, which kind of set up a six-man tag later on throughout that. After that, you know, not much happened. We got, you know, Belair and Cargill versus Candice LeRae and Indy Hartwell, in which they won. And then they were attacked by their opponents at Clash at the Castle, Zoe Stark and Shayna Baszler, and also Alba Fire and Isla Dawn. The next match, which was to me the match of the night, Grayson Waller versus Johnny Gargano. You know, I would definitely go back and watch this. You know, Johnny Wrestling is not just a nickname. You know, that man can wrestle his ass off. So, and Grayson Waller being the up-and-comer that he is, it was definitely a banger. But I can definitely see WWE planting those seeds now. Like, before they even won the titles, there was just this constant theme of Waller just setting up theory week after week after week, and then they won the titles. Things kind of cooled off. But now, you know, it's starting to rear its ugly head again. This week on SmackDown, we saw Waller on the outside, you know, struggling to get to his feet. Gargano coming off the ropes, you know, for a suicide dive. And then Waller pulls Austin Theory, who was checking up on him. He pulled him in the way to take the bullet. So, you know, you just kind of wonder, how much can Austin Theory take? I know whenever he does get enough, you know, we'll finally get the revival of Austin Theory. I think he'll be a great baby face. He definitely has all the potential in the world to be a star. It's just up to him and WWE, like, booking him to put all the tools together. But I definitely can see it happen. After this, you know, we got, like, the update between everything happening between the LWO, Andrade, and Apollo Crews. Apollo Crews was scheduled for a match later that night against Angel, but was attacked backstage, so that didn't happen. Which we saw LA Knight, you know, going up to GM Nick Aldis, you know, basically still looking for Logan Paul, still looking for the United States Championship. And who was he interrupted by? You know, the guy that's been on his nerves for the past couple weeks now, Carmelo Hayes. Which, due to the cancellation of Apollo Crews and Angel, LA Knight thought it would be a good idea for those guys to have a match, in which they did. And this saw LA Knight defeating Carmelo Hayes via roll-up. This was kind of interesting to me. you know, Carmelo Hayes hasn't had like that signature win yet, and I'm curious to see if he'll be thrusted into the United States program with Logan Paul and LA Knight. But you know, that's one of those things we just have to wait and see. And you know, throughout the night, we saw Paul Heyman backstage. As always, you know, for him, nervous guy. The man just, you know, he waiting for his real tribal chief to come back. He waiting for Roman Reigns, you know. It's not just the fans that say we want Roman. I'm pretty sure Paul Heyman feels that way deep down. So, you know, he's backstage. Solo comes up, demands that he makes a six-man tag match for the main event between the Bloodline and Kevin Owens and the Street Profits. And Paul Heyman was trying to talk him down, but Solo said, well, if you don't make that match as the main event is going to be in the locker room between Paul Heyman and Tama Tonga. And before I get to the main event, you know, I had saw this thread on Twitter, and it was kind of interesting to see. Basically, they were saying, like, the downfall of the Bloodline was, you know, Roman Reigns' emotion. Emotion allowed, or just everybody's emotion involved in the Bloodline. Like, Roman Reigns allowed Sami Zayn to enter the group. You know, that got emotional. Jey Uso got emotional. The stuff between him and Jimmy got emotional. Every time Roman couldn't put his opponents away, Solo just came out and tried to get him to just finish the job. So out of everybody in, you know, the OG Bloodline, Solo was like the only emotionless one. So now that he's the leader, he went and got guys who just emotionless as him and Tama Tonga and Tonga Loa. So, you know, it's curious to see. And with Tama being the right-hand man, I can definitely see the Civil War, you know, lining up more and more. I just hope, you know, Jey Uso get his before that happens. But anyway, going on with the main event, we saw, you know, the six-man tag between the Bloodline and Kevin Owens and Street Profits, in which we saw the Street Profits and Kevin Owens win by disqualification. Everybody was brawling. Everything was going crazy. But at the end of the day, the Bloodline stood tall. And that was pretty much SmackDown. But I also want to get into, you know, a little Bloodline news, a little rumor here. Let's discuss that. You know, Hikuleo, brother of Tama Tonga and Tonga Loa, is, you know, expected to sign with WWE and make his, you know, debut soon. And he's also reportedly going to get a name change, perhaps, in which he's going to be named Tala Tonga, you know, which is kind of funny, like, because it has tall in it. He's tall, but, you know. Anyway, and yeah, so the Bloodline keeps on expanding. People are getting worried out here, especially in IWC. Everybody feel like the Bloodline is becoming the next NWO. I personally don't feel that way. I feel like this is one of those things, like, there's actually a story around it. Now, from what I've seen, you know, WCW, NWO, all that stuff was before my time. But I feel like there was no real story around it. It almost seemed like WCW was booking it just to book it, just for the sake of it, to make a story. But it seems like, you know, Triple H and everybody got, you know, a story planned. So I'm not ready to, you know, be sour on it just yet. I want to see how it plays out, you know, and the Samoan family runs deep. I said it in my first podcast ever. You know, this could be a storyline that goes on for years. You know, now, do we want that? Probably not. But, you know, it'd just be interesting to see how all the chips may fall. Where does Rock and Roman fall in this? Jimmy and Jay, Jacob Fatu, you know, if Zilla comes, you know, this year, next year, or later down the line. It's going to be very interesting to see. Moving on here, if you watched last week, we did our, you know, NXT Battleground predictions. That was the PLE this past Sunday night. And it started off with, you know, a little bit of the banger, a little bit of a banger. We got the NXT Women's North American Championship ladder match, which an inaugural Women's NXT North American Champion was crowned. Say that 10 times fast. And to my surprise, personally, they went with Kalani Jordan. Now, me, I'm a Sol Ruka guy. You know, I thought she was definitely going to get that. You know, I even said Fallon Henley, but it was Kalani Jordan, and I'm happy for her. I feel like, you know, this could be the next, you know, step in her journey. This kind of reminds me of, like, in the early stages of the Men's North American Championship, like, when Ricochet finally got that title. Like, she just seems like she's headed in that trajectory now. Of course, Ricochet is one of a kind, and we're going to get to him later. We got a lot to discuss, you know, when it comes to Ricochet. But, you know, I feel like she's going to be a good champion. And, you know, I'm happy that she got that moment. We saw the NXT Tag Team Championships on the line. Nathan Frazer and Axiom defeated the OC. This was a good little back and forth. You know, I had the OC slated to win with everything that they're doing with AJ Styles, but they did not get the victory. Speaking of AJ Styles, I left that out in, you know, my monologue about SmackDown. It was announced that we'll be getting an I Quit match between Cody Rhodes and AJ Styles due to AJ, you know, punking Cody Rhodes last week. So we'll be getting that at Clash of the Castle, and no doubt, you know, that'll be a banger. Moving on with NXT Battleground, we had NXT Underground, in which Shayna Baszler went against Lola Vice. Lola Vice ended up picking up the victory via knockout. You know, I'm not a big Underground fan per se, because just for obvious reasons, like, obviously WWE is not the realest sport, but then when you take the UFC and try to combine it with the WWE, it just kind of doesn't mix well, at least in my opinion personally. But all in all, out of all the Underground matches I've seen, this was one of the better ones. So, you know, maybe this could be Lola Vice thing. I know her and Eddie Thorpe are, you know, got it on lock, but, you know, we'll see. It was a good match. We had the North American Men's Championship on the line between Obafemi, Wesley, and Joe Coffey. And, you know, Obafemi just continued his dominant reign as far as one of the better matches of the night. I definitely would have to go with this one and the ladder match before. It was a bunch of good spots in here. Poor Wesley, man. Wesley was just getting wrecked left and right, you know, with these two big guys. But Obafemi continues that domination. And then we got the NXT Women's Championship on the line with champion Roxanne Perez defending against TNA's Jordynne Grace, you know, looking to become both NXT champion and TNA Knockouts champion. Unfortunately, she couldn't get that done due to distraction via, you know, Tatum Paxley, and then sort of like return slash, you know, forbidden door moment with Dana Brooke, aka Ash by Elegance, and TNA. Their distractions, Roxanne Perez to hit the Pop Rocks, and she won. Also thought this was a good match too. So out of any of the three, the triple threat, the ladder match, and this match, I definitely think they were worth going back and seeing. Like, that match had a lot of good spots in it. And then we had the main event for the NXT Championship. We had Mr. Whoop That Trick, NXT Champion Trick Williams, defend against the new NXT Superstar All Ego Ethan Page. You know, this was a good back and forth bout as well. We saw, you know, the Whoop That era continue as Trick Williams picked up the win. Nonetheless, I don't think this is the last for Ethan Page. I definitely think it's more for him to do, you know, down the line. And that was NXT Battleground. You know, hopefully I covered it all for those who missed it. We still have NXT to get into, so we're going to do that. Next up, we had Monday Night Raw, which was very, very interesting. As always, the Judgment Day, Liv Morgan and Dominik Mysterio have been the highlight of Raw, along with Chad Gable. This week's Raw started off with Drew McIntyre starting off the show. You know, we're heading into Glasgow, Clash at the Castle this week. He's stating his claim as he's going to be the next World Heavyweight Champion. Not soon after, he was interrupted by Damian Priest, who basically said, since you have a problem with the Judgment Day being involved all the time, you know, how about you go one-on-one against Finn Balor? And if Finn wins, Judgment Day gets to stay around. If Drew wins, then no Judgment Day at Clash at the Castle. For me, this was very interesting because during this whole segment, Damian Priest made it very known that he doesn't need the Judgment Day. If this is not the Judgment Day's World Heavyweight Championship, this is Damian Priest's World Championship. So it's very interesting because he's putting down, you know, the Judgment Day while picking himself up. And then he volunteered Finn Balor himself without, you know, Finn Balor saying that he would do it. So it's just a lot of, like, seed planting. So I'm very interested to see, you know, what happens at Clash at the Castle. And I'll get to my predictions later. In the event of this happening, we saw Dominik Mysterio backstage. And as the Judgment Day was away, you know, in the ring doing what they do, Liv Morgan approached Dominik backstage. And she hit him with a line that all men wanted to hear, you know. She basically told Dom, you know, Rhea's not so special if she makes you call her mommy all the time. You deserve to be with a woman that's not afraid to call you daddy. Now, I'ma just say, nah, I'm keeping it kayfabe now. Dom a better man than me. But, you know, at the end of the day, more power to him. She then followed this by giving him her room key to the hotel, in which Dom had no interest in getting. Then after this, we got the match between Lyra Valkyrie and Io Sky. Whenever these two are in the ring together, it's always a good match. Unfortunately, due to interference via damage control, Kairi Sane, Dakota Kai, Io was able to take advantage and get the win. So now they're 1-1, so they're probably going to face off again. And then after the match, they continued to beat up Valkyria, in which Katana Chance and Kayden Carter came out to make the save. And then after this match, all the members of the Judgment Day met up with Dom to basically, you know, see where his head at in preparation for their big six-man tag match coming on later. And then he kind of let them know, you know, Liv Morgan, you know, left the hotel key. And it was kind of interesting. This segment was very interesting because everybody had a different reaction. You know, Carlito was like, that's cool. JD was just like the chateau. And then Finn was seemingly very upset. So then they went out for their six-man tag match. And this is where things got more interesting. Not because the match per se, but what kind of went on towards the end. This was a good, you know, your standard six-man tag. And then when things were kind of like chaotic, Liv Morgan came out. Dom was on the floor. She was on the apron. Zelina Vega came in the ring, pushed her off the apron, in which Morgan fell on Dom, straddling him. And, you know, this was quite the sight to see for a lot of people. Because, like I said, Dom is a better man than me. You know, and this clip obviously went viral. Right now, you can make the argument that Dom's winning in life, both, you know, in real life and in kayfabe. But ultimately, Rey Mysterio, Dragon Lee, Strowman, they defeated the Judgment Day in the six-man tag. And then after this, we got more stuff. Sami Zayn meeting up with Otis in the Alpha Academy in the back, apologizing, trying to talk them out of it. And for me, it's just like, Sammy, bruh, I know you were in the bloodline, you know, but you were in the bloodline for some months before you eventually snapped out of it. It's going to take some time before Otis eventually snaps out of it. So just got to give that man time. And when that man snaps out of it and beats the hell out of Chad Gable, he going to be a star. You know, I like Otis, man. I think he got all the charisma. I don't know what his ceiling is. I don't think it's like world champion, but, you know, that mid-card champ, mid-card, you know, place, possibly challenging Chad Gable for the IC title. You know, I can see that definitely happening. Then we got Sammy versus Otis. This started off with Sammy and Chad going back and forth. And then, you know, as the match was going on, Gable gets up on the ring, slapping Otis around, saying, "You're not doing what I'm telling you to do." And then Sami Zayn hit him with the Haluva kick and got the 1-2-3. And then after the match, Zayn and Gable get into it. And then Otis finally snaps. You know, he beats the hell out of Sami Zayn. So, you know, for right now, it just doesn't seem like he's gonna turn. But then at the same time, while saying that, also happened, he turned his attention towards Chad Gable after he beat up Sami Zayn, and he didn't do it. He didn't do it. So, you know, we'll see. After this, we got, you know, Shayna Baszler and Zoe Stark versus Alba Fire and Isla Dawn. Shayna Baszler and Zoe Stark ended up winning pretty decisively. Backstage, we had R-Truth getting finessed by Scarlett. You know, he thought he was going to be defending the titles against the APA, you know, Bradshaw and Farooq. But ultimately, it was the AOP, Aikman Razor. So that was setting up for a title match down the line. And then after that, we got the banger of the night, Ilya Dragunov versus Braun Breaker. Now, this match was really good. I was curious to see which way WWE was going to go as far as booking. Both guys are pretty new, considering that Ilya already has had a loss. You know, I didn't know if he would take another one. Braun Breaker hasn't lost yet. It's riding on a wave of momentum. You hear the report saying that he's the next big thing. You know, those talks are out there. And, you know, this match, you know, was highlighted throughout the night, you know, video package after video package, and it delivered. To me, this was match of the night. And Braun Breaker, you know, after a back and forth, defeated Dragunov to my surprise. After the match, he wasn't done, though. He was going to keep attacking, you know, Dragunov. And who made the save? That boy Ricochet, jumping over the barricade, you know, making Braun Breaker retreat. But, you know, the story wasn't over. In the meantime, we saw Damian Priest link back up with the Judgment Day, you know, after their failed six-man tag. And, you know, they had to talk about the room key. Dom is like, "I don't want it," slams it on the table. And Damian Priest was basically trying to, you know, rally and unite the troops. And while they all were, like, standing in solidarity with their fists bumping, if you're looking very closely to the screen, you can see Finn Balor's other hand take that room key and slide it in his pocket. Nobody else in the Judgment Day noticed. So it makes you wonder, what are Liv and Finn cooking up? Because every week, Finn cock blocks Dom every week. You know, he stands in the way, prevents her from getting Dom. And I'm starting to think, maybe Dom really is, you know, loyal to mommy. Maybe it's Finn and JD, you know, who don't want to, you know, be in the Judgment Day anymore, who don't like, you know, the way Damian Priest, Dom, and Rhea overshadowed them in the group. And maybe, you know, them and Carlito you know, even if I don't even know if Carlito's in the Judgment Day, honestly, but maybe them, they all go with Liv Morgan and start their own group. But, you know, that's just, you know, some food for thought right there. As I mentioned before, we got The Miz and R-Truth going against AOP for the World Tag Team Championships, and which saw The Awesome Truth defeat AOP due to interference from The New Day. Cross has been trying to break up that group, so it looked like that rivalry is going to continue. And then after this, we saw Ricochet actually get wrecked. I'm talking about Ron Breaker beat the you-know-what out of Ricochet. And I'm talking about Ricochet head bounced off the concrete. Breaker hit him up on his shoulders, power slammed him through the hood of a car and the window. And then this forced Ricochet to be, you know, carried off in an ambulance, you know, flanked by his fiance Samantha Irvin, who does a good job, you know, as an announcer. And so, yeah, it's been reported that Ricochet is leaving the company, you know, so this was, you know, a way to write him off of TV. It's funny because, you know, technically he defended his WWE Speed Championship a couple of days later against Andrade. So, you know, that was very funny. And he lost that title, even though he was injured. But yeah, according to reports, it looks like Ricochet is gone. For me personally, it's a little bittersweet. I always felt like Ricochet could reach higher heights than he had in WWE. Of course, he was a multi-time, like, you know, champion and whatnot. But at the same time, I feel like the Ricochet I know, like King Ricochet, Prince Puma, all the stuff he used to do, like, out there on the indies, he barely scratched the surface in WWE. And I know, like, they like to, because they have such a rigorous schedule, they like to keep it at a minimum so he didn't get to do all the stuff that he's capable of. But, you know, I feel like it's a little bittersweet. I feel like he had a lot, you know, he could have achieved left. But at the same time, knowing how good he is on the independent scene, there's rumors of him possibly going to AEW. You know, Will Ospreay over there, those two are good friends. And, you know, those two are known to put on bangers, which is debatable. Some fans feel like it just makes the sport look bad. Others, you know, that's their style of wrestling. But, you know, it's a way to see. I know New Japan's interested. So wherever Ricochet goes, he's going to be great. He's just one of them ones, you know. And then moving on with that, we had the main event between Finn Balor and Drew McIntyre. And you know, the whole Judgment Day came out to help Finn get it done. It still didn't work. Even Damian Priest showed up and Drew got the win. So no Judgment Day at Clash at the Castle. But I'm interested to see, will this even matter? So that was Monday Night Raw. You know, a lot of continuation and story, a lot of build up for Clash at the Castle. So it's going to be interesting to see where everyone and everything goes, you know, coming out of Glasgow this upcoming Saturday. Moving on to NXT, you know, just to follow up on Battleground, we had Kalani Jordan come out, you know, address the crowd, you know, being that she is your first NXT North American Women's Champion. And then she was interrupted by Jada Parker, was then attacked by Meechan, and those two had a match. Meechan got the win due to interference from the OC. That's interesting as far as story-wise, because out of everybody, Meechan hasn't turned yet, so it's interesting to see. Also, after winning this match, Meechan was told that she would be the first challenger to the NXT Women's North American Champion. So that should be a good match, good first challenge for Kalani. After this, we got Gallus versus Wesley and New Catch Republic. They defeated, Gallus defeated Lee and the New Catch Republic. Then we got the return of Wendy Chu. And this wasn't your regular, you know, sweet, you know, nap time Wendy. Wendy showed up, you know, straight out of a horror film. Like, she's a darker character now, wearing dark makeup, you know, more vicious. And she ended up defeating Brinley Reese via submission. After this, you know, we saw Cody Rhodes come out, address Trick Williams, basically told Trick, you know, his next challenger is going to be determined via Battle Wild Man, Battle Royal, and some who don't even go in NXT. So this could be alluding to more of a Forbidden Door thing happening with TNA, which is interesting because, you know, if you're a fan of AEW, you know, they're setting up for their Forbidden Door pay-per-view. So it's kind of funny to see NXT and TNA, like, you know, basically work with each other. And after this, Trick said he had a very important question for Cody Rhodes. He asked that boy, would he come to the cookout this summer? Which I thought that was pretty, you know, pretty interesting, especially if you've been seeing all the memes about Cody Rhodes. After this, Cody Rhodes ran into some people backstage. You know, JC Jane wearing the face mask. He gave her the undashing Cody Rhodes face mask. Ethan Page, Shawn Spears, and Lexus King, you know, all former AEW workers, they ran into Cody Rhodes backstage saying that they were up next. And then he just let them know that they're all in a good place, which, you know, obviously was a shot to AEW. So, speaking of Lexus King, we got the Singapore Kane match between him and Dante Chen, in which Lexus King got the victory here. And then we got Eddie Thorpe versus Tavion Knights. Eddie Thorpe got the victory there. Sean Spears versus Javon Evans. We saw Sean Spears defeat Evans. For me, that was, you know, the best match. And then to cap it all off, we got, you know, the State of the Women's Division. Champion Roxanne Perez came out to address everybody after her big win at NXT Battleground. She was then interrupted by, you know, a lot of women in the division, Lash Legend, Jakara Jackson, JC Jane, Jasmine Nix, and then eventually Lola Vice, in which Lola came out to say that, you know, unlike everybody else, she's been winning and she's on Roxanne's level. And then this turned into a big brawl, and we actually saw Lola and Roxanne work together to eliminate the rest of the competition. So where does this story go from here? I don't know, but that was NXT for this week. Like, for me personally, I'm looking forward to that Battle Royal next week to see, you know, who comes through the Forbidden Door. You know, I'm pretty sure it's going to be some familiar faces, some new faces, you know. So I'm definitely looking forward to that on NXT next week. Now, we also got a little bit of, you know, interesting news since I spoke at AEW. Pentagon Jr., you know, is trying to obtain the rights to his name, his wrestling name, which is currently in the possession of Tony Khan. You know, and people speculate, since his contract is going to be up around the August-September timeline, that he's going to be looking to, you know, there's mutual interest between him and WWE. So, you know, it's very interesting, you know, a story that, you know, I'm definitely going to stay tapped into. I'm a big Pentagon fan. You know, love Rey Fénix. For me, I just kind of want him to stay in AEW, though. As crazy as that may sound, like, just WWE's booking and track record with all the Latino wrestlers. You know, right now, all the major ones are grouped up and, you know, just battling against each other. So, it's how will Pentagon Jr. stand out from that? I can just see him getting thrown into a program with like the LWO or something like that, or Santos or something like that. So I feel like if it's going to be like that, it's just better for him to stay. And he has like, you know, the chant and everything to keep him going to succeed in WWE. But, you know, with them, you just never know. Obviously, you know, it's always like the language barrier and everything, which Pentagon does speak, you know, a little English, but that's why they have Abrahantes, you know, flanking them and everything to kind of like be that mouthpiece for them. So, you know, definitely a story to look out for. But I want to get into predictions for Clash at the Castle. I'm looking at the card right now. We got Sami Zayn versus Chad Gable for the Intercontinental Championship. Personally, I think Chad Gable walks out with the championship. Now, it's kind of tough because for me, this all lies on will Otis turn here or will he turn, you know, after. I think he turns after. I think it's teased again, but ultimately he does fulfill, you know, Chad Gable's wish in helping him get that championship. And then he's going to turn on him down the line. That is my belief. So mark me down for Chad Gable winning his first singles championship in WWE here at Clash at the Castle. We also got the match, the triple threat match between Bianca Belair, Jade Cargill, Alba Fire, and Isla Dawn versus Shayna Baszler and Zoe Stark for the Women's Tag Team Championship. Come on, man. We got to go with Belair and Cargill. They're on the roll right now. I know Alba and Isla, they're going to be in their home country, but we know how WWE gets when stars are in their home country. They're going to lose. You know, ask Drew what happened last year. So, yeah, I don't really see any team at this moment taking down Belair and Cargill. I think they're going to hold these titles for a while. Speaking of, you know, home field advantage, we got Piper Niven challenging for Bayley's WWE Women's Championship. And it's the same thing here. I think, you know, Piper loses in her home country. You know, it's not outside of the realm of a possibility that all the Scotsmen lose on this night, because that's just, you know, how it's always been. But I definitely see Bayley going on, getting into that feud with Nia Jax down the line. So I definitely think, you know, that's what's going to happen. We got Cody Rhodes versus AJ Styles in the I Quit match for the Undisputed WWE Championship. And, you know, I got to go with Cody Raheem Rhodes on this one. It's hard to see any man saying I quit, but if I had to choose, it's going to be AJ. I think the OC is going to get involved somehow, some way. But I don't think it's going to be enough. You know, following Cody's career, he doesn't quit. So it's hard to see me seeing him quit now. Just the run he's been on, the stories that, you know, he still has pending. I don't think he drops the title at this pay-per-view. So I definitely got Cody, you know, walking out. And then for most likely the main event, Damian Priest versus Drew McIntyre for the World Heavyweight Championship. Now, this one is a tough one. I'm not going to lie. This one is a tough one. But I think I know the direction it's going to go. I think Damian Priest retains. Now, for Drew to lose two times in a row in his home country, that's saying something. But I just feel like we haven't been seeing CM Punk lately. He's going to find a way to get over there in Scotland, you know, and ruin Drew's life once again. I think Drew and CM Punk is going to be your biggest story of the summer. You know, by that time, by SummerSlam rolls around, CM Punk should be, you know, close to 100%, if not 100%. So I definitely think him and Drew are going to have their own match. And I say that to say what Gunther slated, you know, to automatically have a championship match. I feel like it's going to be him versus Damian Priest. Now, you know, to play devil's advocate for Drew, he lost in his country last year. So the possibility of it happening again, who knows? I could see, you know, Finn Balor or somebody coming out like that and costing Damian Priest the title, even though, you know, the Judgment Day is banned from ringside. But I'm still sticking with Damian Priest. I just think CM Punk is going to cost Drew McIntyre his championship. CM Punk is going to be the most hated man in Scotland. And, you know, Drew McIntyre and Jey Uso, they'll never win a championship until, or Drew won a championship, but they'll never get to keep a championship until people stop interfering. So, yeah, those are my picks. Chad Gable, Bianca Belair, and Jay Cargill, Bayley, Cody Rhodes, and Damian Priest. That's who I'm going with. And to cap it all off, you know, I have been your host, Ron the Don. This has been another week of wrestling. I hope you thoroughly enjoyed. You know, again, I'm Dolo today. So, you know, you probably never heard me talk this much since the first episode. But shout out to everybody supporting us, man. You know, just, you know, want to keep it going, you know, continue to grow, you know, continue to elevate and bring everybody, you know, supporting with me. And to everybody out there, you know, struggling, you might be having a tough week or anything like that. You know, just stay blessed, stay humble, because the breakthrough is right around the corner. So, you know, don't give up. Don't give in. Also, you know, sit back and observe your surroundings in your toughest times. See who, like, is your true friends and you know, see who's not in those times. So, you know, hopefully everybody have, you know, a great, blessed weekend. And I'll see you guys on the next pod. And we out.
Trip forever and I'm just not getting started. That's the one. Yeah.